I don't know if I, in my memory banks, can remember a kid who split his gut the way that Josh Dobbs did in two games this early in the season. I mean, we're basically right now, how many games are we through here, guys? Six?
Yep.
We're at the midway point.
Halfway point of the season.
Okay. Josh Dobbs in the Florida game and today, two Southeastern Conference games, not Oklahoma, and I'm talking about high level football, highest level of football.
You have to turn him loose. You can't do what they do last week. I mean, if he's your quarterback, he has to run 10, 15 times.
Russell, they could not run him last week, though, because they would have gotten, he was beat up from the Florida.
Then why is he out there?
He was beat up.
Then why don't you put Dormady in there?
He really, 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 really played with a lot of heart today.
If you're going to play Dobbs, you got to turn him loose. Got to let him run.
A lot of heart.
He really did show a lot of heart. And, you know, I will say the announcer was right. If Von Pearson doesn't make that catch, I think Dormady's in the game. What do you think?
That's an interesting point. If they don't score on that fourth down series where they close the game and they're down three scores and Georgia gets the ball back there around midfield and probably at that point goes down and scores to go up another score, yes, I think you just saw Dormady.
Which, I mean, if you want to talk about
that's critical
criticizing
right there.
Bush Jones, like, I think that was crazy to go for that fourth down.
No, I love that.
I thought that was insane.
No,
it worked out for him.
Again, today you were going on fourth down. Your season is over. You wanted to end Georgia's season. That's why I would have gone at the end of the game. Your season, you need to get a signature win. So you play all out, man. How about it in D.C.? What do you say?
Absolutely. You know, I'm not down there. I'm up here in the nation's capital. But my feeling is you guys might have run him out of Knoxville if we didn't win today. I mean, because, you know, if we didn't win today, we would have taken a beat down against Alabama in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, I've been so
and,
ugly.
You know, it would have been a very bad vibe coming out of Knox Vegas.
Well, I'm going to say this right now. I'm not calling for this guy's head. I've always said he gets next season. He gets next season in my world. I really wanted to beat Florida, and I'm still pissed about that. But today is kind of a step in the right direction as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely. And it was a big recruiting weekend.
Yes, sir.
That makes it even better. That is icing on the cake.
Yes. Thank you. That's exactly right. Tons of great recruits in town. That was an incredible atmosphere for them. You talk about some great fortune befalling the Balls today.
You lose the swing
you,
kid,
friend.
The receiver yesterday, and everybody's talking about, oh, well, why would a receiver come to Tennessee? Well, they had a big day. That's got to help out a lot. Real quick, Tony, can I offer thoughts and prayers to two individuals real quickly? First of all, number 9 on Georgia's defense after Jalen Hurd absolutely destroyed him and took his soul on that one play. You know what I'm talking about, where he caught the screen pass and zigzagged through and just blew that dude, knocked him into oblivion. And then, Tony, I think we also at East Tennessee Community need to reach out to Ella Dorsey this evening. I'm really worried about her. I hope she's doing fine. She's a good sport.
She admitted right here the air night, Thursday night on the Clone Show, 7 to 9 Thursdays. She admitted that there's a reason why their head coach, in her words, goes 8-6 every year. And sometimes 9-7.
It's games like these.
Let's go back to the phones. Ella obviously is a huge fan. Let's go back to the phones, Gary. Next call in. 31 past the hour. If you want to get in, we are roughly an hour into our at least 3-hour extravaganza tonight. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tone, Russ.
Hey.
Great win, guys.
Hey, great win. Yes, sir.
Hey, Russ, you said it, man. I really felt bad for number 9 on that play. Yeah,
do you think he even knows where he is right now? Does he know his name? I mean, shouldn't joke. Concussions are serious.
Let me tell you something. Hurd, when Hurd gets ahead of steam on your brother, he finishes runs now. They can talk about Leonard Fournette, and he's a great talent. Hurd in the open field is a scary, scary proposition
for
anybody.
Arian Foster is a great player, but I think Jalen Hurd's the best running back we've had since Jamal Lewis. I think
Arian
fantastic.
Foster wasn't any good here. Not my opinion.
He's good now. I mean,
he's in the pros. He's a totally different player
in
the pros.
Well, He was in the claw fence. I mean, if you have him on a traditional, on a David Cutcliffe coached Tennessee offense, he probably has a pretty darn good year.
I don't know how hard. I don't. I'm gonna get myself and you.
Sorry,
like,
I didn't mean
trouble.
To devolve us into an Arian Foster rip job here. That's not my intention.
Thank you.
Well, here's the deal. This is what I like about Hurd is he works the defensive line and those linebackers. He makes you form tackle, and even if you do, he's still gonna break it. And it wore him down. I mean, it was great. I was over there, section B, row one, right behind the D line. Those guys were, whenever we came back, they were scared. And especially in the third and fourth quarter, they were mute. In the first quarter, this Bellamy number 17 kid was just jawing at the fans, just like, this is our house, this is our house. The third quarter, I didn't even see him. Okay. And I do want to say this. I was right there at the 30-yard line when Chubb got hurt on that first play. It broke my heart. Like, I am a diehard Tennessee fan. I said to myself, look, if this guy can I will take a loss here in this game if this guy doesn't have a season or a career-ending injury. Like, I was willing to give up a loss.
I agree.
So that this guy could go on and play, because you hate to see that.
I tweeted it out as soon as it happened that it made me sick to my stomach. First of all, I hate seeing any kid get hurt.
Yeah.
I hate seeing guys that have tremendous talent like that. It reminds me of the kid from South Carolina who, if I'm not mistaken, I don't think that kid ever had a pro career, and he had a gruesome injury mm-hmm. against us. What was his name?
Lattimore.
Yeah, Marcus Lattimore.
Yeah, and it looks like, you know, that looked like a full knee blowout. It looks like that might not be the case, but when you first saw it, you're like, oh, man, bone injury, all that stuff, and you're thinking, man, that might be an injury that cost the young man literally millions of dollars. Hopefully that's not the case.
Well, Tony, another thing, you know, this is going to sound crazy, but I'm going to have to see the ESPN or the UT Sports or some – media entity put the 3-3 before I really accept this as a win. As a Tennessee fan, you know, we're so used to the North Carolina game, the LSU game, you know, where the Georgia game 2 years ago, don't forget, we had that game dead in the water, and Murray takes them down 80 yards with less than a minute ago and puts a dagger in our heart. How about the last play? And Russ, you said a minute ago, they ran out of time. And it was great to see three or four breaks go our way at
Absolutely.
The end. The Robinson kid missing the ball. Oh my word. I had Georgia fans around me. Again, you couldn't help but feel for him because that was a catch. And I don't know what happened. The guy just dropped him wide open. And you thought at that point, we're going to win this ball game.
You know, at the end of it all, you got to get breaks. We've had so few. And I love your take. When you say about you're expecting now the new commissioner, Sankey, in like 20 minutes or something, to say there's been some kind of ruling, like they used to do in wrestling. You're back in your car, and you find out from the dirt sheets.
We're
the
bringing
day,
him back out. Yeah. There was a penalty.
Yeah,
after,
was
further
a, yeah,
review,
after further
we'll
review,
we'll have an untimed down from the one.
Wow. Wow.
Tony, let me get out of here and say one more thing. You hit the head on the. I've been on hold for a little bit, and whenever I started listening to the show, as soon as I got in my car, you said the other radio stations are playing tons and tons of commercials, and that's 100% accurate. You turn into the fifth quarter, you get Tony Basile, you get Russell, you get callers that know what they're talking about, and I appreciate that, and I appreciate what you guys do.
Hey, thank you, man. Thank you. It's a it is a labor of love. Dubsy and myself have walked out of here after the Florida game. We walked out of here. I think it was close to 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. Last week we were done 2:30, 2:45 a.m., that is, for those of you who listen to the fifth
quarter.
It
was so late, my local Crystals had closed. I was depending on that sackful, Tony. I had to go home and fix a cold turkey sandwich. It was the most depressing turkey sandwich of all time.
I'll tell you what, when we sit in here for 3 hours without a commercial break, I've had a... Let's go back to the phones. Get our next call in. By the way, 865-200-5402 is our number. We'll stay on till the last phone call is taken. We're going to celebrate the huge win by Tennessee as the Vols. What was the number, Russell, against the Georgias, the Floridas, the LSUs, the Auburns? There was some kind of crazy number that was floating around out there. It's like 13 straight losses or some absurd number like that or whatever it was. It's just so nice. And you know what the irony is? The irony is Tennessee gets a win on the same week that they bid adieu to Pig Howard, falls one inch short of being the hero.
Sorry, Pig.
In this game 2 years ago.
And Tennessee.
Another fish pantry game.
Takes back the all-time lead in the Georgia series. Takes back the lead in Neyland Stadium. I wasn't ready to live in a world where Georgia had beaten Tennessee more times than the Vols had beaten the Dogs.
Hell no. And I'll tell you something else I wasn't willing to do. We were fixing to go down to 500 in the league in the 2000s. No, it will not happen. I think we might be one under 500 right now going to Alabama. I don't know. Anyway, I'm terrible at numbers, if you didn't figure that out.
I
had
all those numbers. I saw one. Georgia coming into this game was had won 22 straight games when leading by at least three touchdowns.
Chad made a good point. Say that again.
Georgia was 22-0 their last 22 games in which they led by 21 points.
Oh, I love beating somebody like
that. Which is like, hey, you should be. Are you up 21 points? You're going to make a habit of blowing a 21-point lead?
It's about damn time. Somebody else blew a three.
Well, who would have thought? When it's 24-3, I'll be honest, man. I'm mentally tuning out.
Of course you are.
I'm checking out the meltdown on Twitter. I'm not
Everybody
really paying
is,
attention.
Right?
Who would have thought they scored 28 points in a row at that point?
Nobody. Not even the Jones.
Butch Jones.
No, Butch Jones.
He was more shocked than anybody. He's like, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah, of course
he is. I was ready to go freshen up my resume at the half. Guess we got to coach this thing
out. That would have been funny if he'd have said that. What were you thinking about, Coach, when you were down three scores? Well, what I was really thinking about I need to get out of here for a week.
Sell this house in this market?
For the off week, we need to get out of here. By the way, Chad with a great tweet 40 seconds ago. Thank you, Chad, for being there. Nick Chubb, who's a tremendous, splendid athlete. I can't express that to you enough, how much we hope he's okay. Was going after the consecutive 100-yard rushing record of Herschel Walker tonight as well. He tied it last week.
Oh, yeah.
And he goes out on the first play of the game,
man.
On what, I'm going to tell you, I've been here close to 30 years. That's the most gruesome thing I've seen happen on the field in Neyland Stadium.
Honest question, Tony.
Go ahead.
Be honest with yourself.
Go ahead.
Does Tennessee win that game if Chubb doesn't get hurt?
Yes. Tennessee was going to win that game anyway. Tennessee was going to win that game. You know why? Because it's college football. And truthfully, Tennessee was going to win that game because it's about freaking time. Tennessee's family,
look at that run,
Tennessee's
man.
Fan base, Tennessee's coaches, Tennessee's administrators, maybe even Bama Dave Hart himself deserved to win that game tonight. I don't know about Bama Dave Hart. I got to think about that. But that poor Davis kid, that's T-Rob's nephew, for real.
Oh, really?
I'm telling you, that's Tony Robinson's nephew, that Davis kid tonight, who flat balled out.
You know, there's,
except for that drop.
There's 4 minutes left in the game at that point. Who's to say what would have happened? I don't think that won or lost them the game. Certainly didn't help their cause. But also, Tony, we need to give a shout-out to Butch Jones, M.D., coming out there to check on the injured players, just shoving the trainer out of the way. I'll take care of this. Matt Crowder, a nice pat on the back. How you doing? Tremendous bedside manner. Tony, I thought Butch Jones and
how about Matt Crowder getting the start tonight? I thought that was interesting after the week that was. The two kids and the way they played is really a wonderful theme coming out of this game. Chance Hall and Jack Jones flat out dominated veteran football players. They did more than hold their own.
Well, Brett Kendrick, he might have gotten Wally Pipped today.
They flat out dominated tonight. Let's call it what it was. I don't think I've seen a true freshman in that spot have that kind of day since Scott Wells against Florida when they threw him at center in 2000 and said, go out there, young man. You really don't know what you're doing.
I love Jack Jones. He looks like the kind of guy who just smells bad. The biggest fat offensive. He probably didn't even shower after the game tonight. He's just going home with grass in his hair, sweat stains under his arms. That's my kind of offensive lineman right there.
Let's go back to the phones.
You know that guy stinks. I mean, you could some guys you could just tell. Look at you. You look at Jack. So yeah, that guy smells bad.
Seth Dunaway's telling a funny story here. And then we'll go back to the phones. You'll
like
appreciate
beef and
this.
Cheese.
I had some kids today, some high school kids, including my kids, go over today and bomb the campus with about 5,000 cards. We stuck them on cars. We handed them to people. That whole thing. Some promotion.
Nice.
I know you guys. Do you do that at your station? No. Okay, so Seth Dunaway today, I spent probably, I don't know, $400 or $500 on it, whatever. Seth Dunaway says, hey, Tony Basilio, the true listeners are not in G10. My street team went to G10 and papered the money line.
You need to be in the fort.
Now listen,
right downtown,
listen,
Market
listen,
Square.
Listen. Keep up the fifth quarter and in the pocket. Stop wasting your dollars with the whales in G10. Hey, Seth, I'll say this to you, and you'll appreciate this. So one of the high school kids comes back to me and goes, man, he goes, not everybody likes you. I said, really? He said, a guy said to me, is that something for the Tony Basilio show? Don't put that blank on my car. I said, what did you do? He said, I took two of them and put them on his car. I said, that's exactly what you do, son.
How about this?
Another
for...
guy told my daughter is handing stuff out. He goes, is that for the Tony Basilio show? He took the card right in front of her and tore it up and goes, that guy is a complete ass clown.
That's awesome. So I'm walking
so
into...
So my daughter was so happy to be able to come back and tell me
that. Representing the family.
No, she was into it. She goes, Dad, you really... People don't like you.
I was walking into remote at the Smoky Mountain Brewery Thursday.
Yes.
I'm on my phone, and I'm getting something out of the Knox Talk Radio truck. As I'm walking out, what I thought was a fan is gesturing towards me, and I put my phone down so I can, you know, rub elbows with the fan of the show. And at that point, he tells me, hey, tell the folks over there at 94.3 they need to get rid of the drive and give us an extra hour of Alex.
Alex Jones!
Well, yeah, all right. I wholeheartedly
right
concur.
Yeah, I'll be right there. Only three SEC quarterbacks in 20 seasons have passed for 300 yards and rushed for 100. Johnny Manziel's done it four times. Dobbs has done it twice. Tebow has done it once. Wow. Wow, that's insane.
What kind of meal plan do they have Alabama's cheerleaders on, Tony?
Let's go back to the phones. Oh, come on. We're better than that until Alabama
week. I'm not.
Week. Until Alabama
Speak
week.
For yourself.
Let's get to our
big
next,
girls.
Next call in. Hello and welcome.
What's up, Tony B?
Hey. What's up, man? Hey, Carter. How good's it feel, brother?
Man, I'm doing wonderful. How about yourself?
It's great to win a game.
Russell, you just cracked me up. Your comments about it's too late pass. Crystal wasn't even open. That's classic.
Tony, sad time, my friend.
Is the curse broken? And when I say
great question.
When I say the curse, is it the majors? Is it the Fulmer stabbing majors curse? Is it the firing Fulmer curse? Is it the bringing Kiffin in curse? Is it the Derek Dooley curse? Or is it broken? That Georgia receiver dropping that pass right at the goal line. Please tell me that means the curse is broken.
I'll tell you what. I'll make a deal with you.
That was six all day.
Talk to me.
They were fixing to go for two and beat us.
Oh, they were. Oh, that's what my wife said. My wife said they're getting Ray's score, and they're going to go for two.
That's
and I said, there's no way. She said, Tony, they are going to score, and they're going to go for two. And I'm going to tell you something,
Carter. You would have?
When we rush three, and they hit that 16-yard pass down to our 23-yard line. Thank God they had too many men on the field or whatever that was that happened and pushed it back 5 yards and just kind of blew their momentum. Thank God for your boy, Mark Richt, who's good for a couple of these a year. He has more talent. He squanders. There's not a guy in America that squanders more talent than that guy on a yearly basis. Now, they're kind of young. This year's kind of a tweener year for them, and especially with Chubb going out. It was really a miracle they were in the position they were in, but they needed two non-offensive touchdowns to get in the position they were in, Carter. Carter, this might have been a curse breaker tonight. I'll tell you what. I'll make a deal with you. Talk to me on here after we play Kentucky, and I'll tell you if the curse is over. How's that sound?
Well, I'll just say this relative to Rick. I mean, and I say I'm like Russell. I say you're smoking crack on that fourth down play. There's no way in hell I'm up 7 points. I know our history, but there's no way on your side of the field you go for the ball. You go for first down there. We punted the ball, gave them the ball at the freaking 1 yard line with a minute and a half to go. If you can't win that game, going for it on fourth down, that was just not a chance. But so I'll give Rick credit for however you want to figure it out. He got them down there within one pass play of tying that ball game up. So now, correct me if I'm wrong, is this the first time Rick has lost 2 games in a row?
I think that's right. I think that's right. Although, a couple years ago, didn't he have a start where he started 1-4 and they won the rest of them?
Yeah, he's had some.
I think he did.
He's got a head.
It's either the first time he's lost two SEC games.
Maybe two SEC games. That might be right. Okay, Let me check that out.
You know those fans are, Georgia fans are taking it hard. I really hurt for him. I hate it for him.
Yeah, it really does hurt.
I want to take a little credit because I was at the game.
Yes.
And number one, I had made 2 separate bets against us because there was just no way we were winning that football game. And I did leave when they kicked that punt, when we kicked the punt to that gentleman and he mishandled it and then squirted out to the right, I started leaving right then. I didn't even have to see him run. I knew he was going to spread that out around and head to the end zone. And then I saw the flag down there. All the people around us were cheering. They thought it was going to come back. But I just kept going to the stands. I was toward the parking lot, and I left at halftime. So it was absolutely worth every bit of money I lost today on that game, and the fact that I wasn't sitting there in that stadium to win that game because it's just been so long. I mean, it's just been so long. My son, who's a junior over there, texted me and said, "I don't know how to act." I said, "I don't know what to do." You know, it's been 10 years since we've seen a big win over there.
Well, and it's a shame that you, did you stay and watch a celebration?
No, that's what I'm saying. I was on my couch.
No, you just told you. So you really did leave. You really did leave the game.
Yes, sir. I caught Joyride. I was home on the couch with a cold beer before the second half.
Man.
And I'm thrilled to say I helped in that because if I'd have stayed, we'd have lost 50.
Oh, well done. I salute you.
I'm going to take a little credit on that.
You gave your all.
I'm going to give Butch a little credit. Somebody mentioned it earlier. I do think they're learning.
Yep.
You know, they're at the end of the game, the time management, they were finally running down the damn clock instead of snapping it with 23 seconds.
And we're celebrating that. Hey, Carter, people are celebrating that. I mean, that is fundamental. That is fundamental. That shouldn't be celebrated.
But it's progress, Tony, and that we hadn't seen
in
a while, so that's progress. Last thing, and I'm going to get out of here. I hate to be negative. Those gray uniforms suck.
I don't like them.
Well, I know, and I tweeted out, or not tweeted because I don't tweet, but I put out there earlier, if we lose this damn game, I hope they do a Chicago Cubs disco inferno and take them gray uniforms, put them out of the middle field, and blow them some.
Disco night.
Disco
yeah.
sucks night
awful,
in Comiskey
awful.
Park.
Thanks,
I'd love that. Hey, thanks, man. Thank you, Carter. By the way, the NCAA has just issued on their official Twitter account, Leonard Fournette can auction his jersey for the SC flood victims. And I just, as only I can, said, no kidding. You people are a damn embarrassment. If I had my way, you and your ilk would be out of business. Russell, I'm telling you, those people right there need to go back to whence they came. 865-200-5402. As the LSU game was moved, LSU South Carolina was moved to LSU today, and a cadre of running backs went off today for LSU. It wasn't just Fournette. Everybody went off today. And South Carolina has major issues, if you didn't already know this, on defense. And Alabama, at home, is down 7-3 with a couple of missed field goals, short field goals, with Arkansas beginning the third quarter. If you want to get in with us tonight, 865-200-5402. There are some cracks in the foundation starting to show at Alabama. Some cracks in the foundation.
Did you see last week in the, when it was raining down there at Georgia? Talk about the foundation. Nick Saban's comb over, man, coming apart. Major, major issues in the back sector, Tony. I mean, it was not good.
No, I've been there before. And Nick has like miracle hair because he was going bald a couple years ago, and now he's got a bunch of hair back there. And I'm just wondering if he has like a rich man weave or something I don't know about, but I'd like to get involved with. By the way, Saban said we really moved the ball well at halftime, only punted once. We got to finish our drives. 3 points is the fewest Alabama has had in the first half of the game since 2011. And you know what? Mark Richt is the one that got snippy with a reporter tonight. This according to Dog Nation. Cue up the music. Do we have a Georgia fight song somewhere? Mark Richt, not known for his... There's something about Knoxville. There's something about Knoxville that does this to coaches. Mark Richt, not known for his brusque moments. You know today had to hurt. Today had to urinate him off like no other. At the end of his post-game press conference, a reporter who Richt didn't know asked, Coach, injuries against running backs against this team have been well documented over the past few years. Do you feel almost snake-bitten at this point with so many? Richt looked at the reporter and said he really hadn't thought about it, and then he added, Are you a Tennessee man? You look like you're smirking over there, having a good time tonight. No, sir, answered the reporter, an Associated Press writer based in Tennessee. Okay, I was just curious. And then he got up to leave telling the media to have a good night. Can I ask Mark Richt something? What the hell business is it of yours what he is? Shut the hell up and answer the question! Or don't! What's the matter with you damn people? It's ridiculous. Are you a Tennessee fan? What are you doing in here? I'll tell you what, Coach. I'm watching you get beat for the second straight week by a team that couldn't play dead before today, by the way. That's why we love college football. Let's go to the phones. I'm watching you, Coach, blow a 3-touchdown lead. That's what I'm doing. Looks like you're smirking over there. Yeah, Coach, I am. I've had to pee for like 7 hours, and this game was like 9 hours long. How long was that game today? As I go back to our phones, Mark.
I'll tell you what.
Who I love, by the way. You're smirking.
It's just about Tennessee, man. After the first quarter, I felt like I had been hit by a train. I needed a nap, a therapy session.
Yes.
I mean, this team will take it out of you, man. I'll just say that.
It's crazy, man.
I'll drive a man to drink.
And they've taught me to drink moonshine this year. You and I are going to have a glass here tonight in celebration here after a bit. Let's get back to our phones, get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Tony and Russell. This is Michael in San Antonio.
Hey, Mike in San Antonio. Michael, good to hear from you.
Hey, yeah, you said it. You nailed it right on the head there, Russell. Somebody on Twitter the other day was asking, said, what are your predictions for the game? And I responded and said, well, I can boldly and confidently predict that I'll be on the edge of my seat, rocking back and forth like I'm some sort of mental case, biting my nails, gut-wrenching agony, and it was like all the way to the very end, to the last play of the ball game. You know, it just seems to be par for the course over the past several years with the Volunteers. But it's a good win. I mean, and Tony, you nailed it earlier also because, you said the coaching staff put the players in a position to win this game. And, the board, they were saying he got to the stadium 3 hours early. And they showed him up there all by his lonesome, contemplating. It looked like it was such deep thought, So my idea is for the Alabama game, how about he gets there 3 days early? How about he just takes a microwave, a futon, a mini fridge, and just camps out there for a few days? We'll have a better chance.
Let's send him right now.
I'm telling you, Lone Nut and his ilk, all the crazies online that do that sort of thing, could have an absolute field day with building Mike DeBoard's perfect little man cave up in the box where he can hang out there all week long.
Sanctuary.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. But I think I tweeted both you guys earlier today once, Oklahoma got punched in the mouth by Texas.
Yeah.
They did. Texas ran the ball 54 times and only threw the ball 11 times all game.
And how about at the end of the game? How about at the end of the game when Texas could have gone conservative and they drove the ball down their throat and just laid down there with a couple of beautiful runs right there around the goal line when they just put the game away instead of kicking a field goal. It was beautiful.
It was beautiful. And I don't want to rain on our victory tonight, but the whole time I'm thinking that I told you guys earlier that, you know, that they had a freshman quarterback that was a good dual threat. Dobbs did not do that. They didn't set Dobbs up to do that against Oklahoma. That's why we let it slip away from us. That third kid, I think he had over 100 yards rushing.
Correct.
Himself, and he was the quarterback.
What I see tonight, and I'm celebrating tonight's win, but this is just how I am, so people can get mad at me if they want, but I'm going to be me. Michael, I'm kind of like you. I'm watching that game, and I'm going, first of all, where have these wide receivers been all year? That's one.
Right.
Two, boy, this is pretty fun to watch when you play offense, when you can actually drive the football. Man, I see why people like college football week in and week out. That's another observation. And then my third observation is, if you just could have finished one of the three games that got away, just one of the three, and if you just give me my choice, I'll take the Florida game, and I'm in the driver's seat in the East right now. I'm in the driver's seat in the East with a win over Georgia right now. Because Georgia's going to beat Florida before it's over.
That's what I was worrying. I haven't taken a look, but what's the rest of Florida's schedule look like?
They beat. I'll get that for you. They beat.
Well, they have to play everybody in the East.
Everybody. And I believe, don't they have Auburn in the West? I believe they do. Which might be. Oh no, they have LSU in the West. Let me look that up.
Yeah, because Auburn pretty much stinks.
Yes.
So, but we were talking earlier. I think I mentioned something earlier too about how freshmen. I think Texas beat Oklahoma with two freshmen playing on the offensive line, and it was just so ironic how we ended the ball game with what? Two freshmen playing on our offensive line.
I'm telling you, man.
And hats off to those kids because they did a hell of a job. I'd leave them in there the rest of the season.
I would absolutely let those kids play till they play themselves out of it. You got to.
Yeah, and once Robertson gets healthy and gets in there, you've got your lineup for next year as well on that offensive line.
And you take a guy like Kendrick, and somebody else is going to go down and get hurt. But I wouldn't mess with that while those kids played as well as they did today. I would not mess to me. That's me.
Up until the point where they put the two freshmen there, that right side of our offensive line, I thought was the weak point. They actually made some good holes.
You better believe
they did. We had some good results running on their side tonight. I'm proud of those
kids.
They have some moxie. They got some toughness.
They ran right behind those kids. And the thing I like about what those kids did is they did it against top flight competition. That was not Western Carolina out there. That they did it against. And Alabama is now getting off the field. Oh, there's a flag down. Russell, you like the flags that fly when you're down there in Tuscaloosa? Yeah,
they got the buzz from Birmingham.
Yeah.
Steve Shaw's in the control room.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
Gotta love that. By the way, let's go through the schedule for your...
It's
holding on Bama. We spoke too soon.
Holding penalties on Alabama, it's like a shooting star, Tony.
At Missouri tonight, which brings the Gators, who are up right now, I think 14-3, they're going to go to 6-0 on the year after that game tonight. Then they're at LSU next Saturday night, 7 o'clock start. Be there. That's a loss. They're going to get killed. Then, after they get run over, they get an off week to think about it. Then they play Georgia down in Jacksonville. Then they have Vandy November 7th. South Carolina at Williams-Brice Stadium, and they finish with Florida State. So it's got to happen against LSU and Georgia, but even at that, for us, we needed Missouri to beat them tonight if we harbored hopes of getting into this.
On a best-case scenario, Florida could still possibly end up with two losses in the SEC, which would still put us right up there in the running if we could, I don't know about the Bama game, but, I mean, the rest of the games are surely winnable, they seem, you know, I mean... Who knows what
can
happen?
I agree with you. I agree with that.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you guys taking my call, and it's always entertaining listening to you guys and all the other Vol fans. And one of your callers mentioned earlier, you know, once Nick Chubb went down, it was weird because for a brief moment there, I wasn't worried about the outcome of the football game either. And any fan that had any class wouldn't either because I just hope the kid comes back, you know, and plays well and doesn't skip a beat, you know, wherever happens with him. So, you know, prayers for that kid and his family. But you guys have a good night, and I'll keep listening to you, fellas.
Thank you, my friend. Good talking to you. Thank you. By the way, Russell, and thank you, Michael, in San Antonio. The tackle of the night happened when, Dubsy? Describe the hit of the night.
After the game, Tennessee fan evidently jumps the fence, running onto the field to celebrate with his beloved Vols when an alert security officer, textbook tackle form, eyes on the thighs, moving his feet through the tackle, just an absolute slobber knocker, de-cleats him.
De-cleat. It was one of the nastiest hits you'll ever see. You talk about taking somebody off their feet.
Squared him up.
The popo was out in full force.
Head up.
Tonight down there. Yeah, he really did. He had his head up.
That was good.
Square to the target, pad level, drove the would-be ball carrier. That kid looked a little surprised, like, I just want to celebrate with my guys, man, my peeps. I just want to get on the field here. Let's go back to our phones. What are they looking at, Dubsy?
So they called roughing the punter on Arkansas, but a replay will show, and there's no way to catch this in real time, but the Arkansas player who roughed the punter barely kind of blocked the kick, so it should be they should take out the get rid of the penalty.
865-200-5402 if you want to get in with us. This is your Smart Way Dalton Bearing Hydraulic fifth quarter fan reaction, where we give you a chance to celebrate after a win tonight. Tennessee wins 38-31 in a game that I think will be remembered for a long, long time in Knoxville, because it was like something cool in the middle of a desert. And we needed this. We needed this as a family. We needed this as a fan base. And everybody involved needed tonight to happen in Neyland Stadium. And I woke up this morning thinking Tennessee was going to do it. I had the weirdest feeling they were going to do it. And just like that gentleman, Michael, just mentioned, Texas did it with two true freshman offensive linemen. Tennessee did it with true freshman offensive linemen tonight in a game that really defied a lot of logic, going down 21 early and then storming back. And what did they just rule, Russell?
I don't know. The ruling on the field was that the ball was not tipped.
Oh, they still have it. You mean to tell me? You mean it's, I went through that spiel because I looked down. You mean to tell me they still haven't decided?
They're working on it.
How freaking long is replay? How long are these freaking games now? Let me remind you what we're listening to.
This is a big play.
And then we'll get back into some phone calls.
I like that guy in the replay booth, too. Was that guy like 97 years old?
He looks like George Jones. Looks like they zoomed George Jones and put him in the booth.
It's time for another hour of power on today's game. It's the Smart Way Dalton Bearing fifth quarter fan reaction, where you are the star of the postgame. Presented without commercial interruption. The lines are open now. 865-200-5402. 865-200-5402. And now, it's time to get to your host, Tony Basilio.
Back with you tonight. Sans Bino, sans Cinco, where is Bino, APB Bino, just a great win for our Vols today over Georgia. And Mark Richt got snippy with a reporter. What do you make of that, Dubsy, him getting snippy, asking a guy if he's a Tennessee fan?
That's weird.
You have a smirk on your face when he's asking about player injuries.
Well, how
could anybody possibly misconstrue what that question was? The question was, you've had some really weird things happen to you, not it's your fault. How could anybody have thought Nick Chubb's injury was?
They've got to feel snake bitten up here, though. I mean, it's a legitimate question, right? Because 2 years ago, you're up here and they had both Conley, the wide receiver, and Keith Marshall went out with blowed out knees. And then, you know, this year, the first play to have that happen.
Yeah. Back in 95, Robert Edwards got hurt over there, and he was about to have an all-time night when he got hurt.
Boy, they have a hard time keeping running backs healthy down there.
Matt Harmon on Twitter says they're trying to figure out how to confirm that call so the Bammers can get the ball back.
Evidently.
Rob Ninja says, Tony is totally snack-kicking me on Twitter. I mean, everybody... We won, Rob! Stop! Let's all get along here. Beduk says, I need a video of that tackle. I tweeted it out, bro. It's already out there. We have nice things. We have nice things. Joe Mabry with the tweet of the night. So great to have nice things. Well put. Let me get another perspective on this. Introduce yourself there, guest on our guest maker hotline.
I'm a first-time caller to a winning post-game show.
Beano First Mortgage Lenders tonight, sponsoring Beano, Jim Baker, and the fine folks. They believe in answered prayers at First Mortgage Lenders. And let me tell you this. Jim lives by the old adage of under-promising and under-delivering. You like that, Beano? I worked a little Jim Baker and prayer in there. You say you're the first-time caller to a winning show tonight. First Mortgage Lenders, locally owned, right in the beautiful Halls community, committed to making the American dream of owning a home come true. The Tennessee dream of beating somebody that matters in the league came true tonight. It has been so long. First Mortgage Lenders has a 20-year track record of helping folks find the right mortgage loan or product to fit their needs. To fit not their needs, but your needs. So whether it's a conventional or an FHA home loan, or whether it's a no down payment option, such as a USDA Rural Development Loan, First Mortgage Lenders has you covered. 865-925-0700. No slogans, no games, no gimmicks. 865-925-0700. Beano, your thoughts.
Tony, Russell, this is the show we've been waiting for. We beat a ranked team. We did it by making some plays in the fourth quarter. We ended one of those long losing streaks to our opponents that we've been talking about. And we basically saved the season with a win tonight. Great win.
John Parham on Twitter, guys, asks the following, and then we'll go right to the phones, Beano, and you'll be able to get in the mix and in the hunt. By the way, North Texas just asked their coach a question on Saturday night.
That's what happens when you get waxed by Portland State.
Final. Where
it
Jerry
was like
Glanville
65
was.
To nothing. I don't know.
65 to nothing.
University of North Texas, UNT or UNT, as I prefer to call them, should be a lock win for the Vols here in a couple of weeks.
We were right next to Calhoun's when you were over there at Smoky Mountain Brewery Thursday, and I was with Jerry Glanville eating, and he said, you don't even want me to describe to you what it was like at Portland State, what that place was like. North Texas State was on
Portland,
are they,
Oregon?
Are they on our schedule? It's in
yeah,
Oregon.
They are.
Homecoming.
Yeah.
UNT.
They're getting.
Mean Green's coming to town.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say they're going to get pounded.
Do they still have Kathy Ireland as their kicker?
I love Kathy Ireland.
Unnecessary roughness.
John.
We're going to tear their kingdom down.
John Parham, thank you, Titans Yams. A reference to my daily show where Titans Bill calls in with such wonderful insight, and Titans Bill, if you're listening, I mean this with every fiber of my body. Such wonderful insight as saying that a couple weeks ago that Georgia Tech was going to pound Alcorn State and tear their kingdom down. To the phones. Oh, by the way, before we go to the phones, on Twitter, John Parham says, hey, just tuning in, you may have discussed this, but why was the time not run off at the end of the game with the penalty that was committed by Georgia?
Because Tennessee.
No, what's the reason?
The reason, as it was explained by the officials, was the clock was not actually running. I believe there had been an incomplete pass, so the clock was stopped. But if the clock is running, if the player's tackled in bounds or something like that, it would have been the 10-second runoff, and Tennessee would have won via the Dooley rule.
Beano, that game was unbelievable. I am so glad you're on here celebrating that victory with us tonight.
Tony, one of your callers mentioned it, and we were celebrating like crazy. And I just kept watching for the official. I'm telling you, I was not jumping up and down. I was waiting.
I'm still waiting.
I kept looking for the official to click on his microphone and come up with some way that there was some time remaining in that football game.
I'm still waiting.
But it was
convinced.
A wonderful win. Just a wonderful win.
Any moment, Vernon Gary going to pop back on CBS. Here we go. On time down.
Here we go.
Back to the phones we go. How about this? What about the non-call clip on the Georgia kick return in the first half when Tony Robinson's nephew took that ball in for a touchdown? There had to be some karma. Mary, that is exactly right. Tennessee would not be denied today. Would not be denied today. That's the way I come away from today's game. You can break this game down. You can look at it from all angles. It was a weird football game. It was going to happen. Whether Chubb got hurt or not, this was a game Tennessee was going to win. You know, we talked yesterday about this. Even as ill as I was, I told you I felt good about this game for some reason. Teams that have turmoil, Texas is another one, you know, that have some good talent on them, are going to respond eventually to that. And that's exactly what Tennessee and Texas did today in rivalry football games.
Yeah, Tony, I thought Tennessee had an opportunity, a really good opportunity to win the football game. But I'll be honest, when they picked up the flag on the punt return, I thought that we would fold. And we absolutely did not. It was one. Matter of fact, I was so angry, I was saying, well, we should bring the blue-gray game back so that our seniors would get to wear their own uniforms when we don't make a bowl game. They play in that thing.
Back to the phones we go. Will Wilson with a great point on Twitter. How valuable is Trevor Daniel to this football team? Just wow, wow, wow on that last punt. That is... wow.
You know how LSU has a tradition now with the Australian punters? I say Tennessee and Butch Jones start a tradition of having a fat punter.
I love fat punters.
I love it.
Penn State has a really fat field goal kicker.
Yeah, the guy's great.
Looks like he dines, looks like he eats out every night of the week Italian. And yep. Then when he's not doing that, he eats two pizzas in his dorm room.
Well, Matt Darr wasn't exactly a slender fellow. This kid's a little bit chubby. I want a full-on fatso next year. Or whenever Trevor Daniels' eligibility is up.
Lee Meeks on Twitter, and then we'll go back to the phone, says, please mention, we have kept the all-time lead in the series with Georgia, never have trailed in the series, only tied. Take that, Mark Richt. Hey, Bino, are you a Tennessee fan? You have a smirk on your face. What's the matter with these coaches today? Damn it, man. Damn it.
Yeah, I told you, Tony, that just got every advantage. They've all got 4 or 5 year contracts, huge buyouts, and they can't take any kind of criticism whatsoever. I'm telling you, they ought to go the NFL route. That's what they've made this thing into, these agents and head coaches and people like that. They need to, it's a mini NFL anyway, give them $6 million a year and tell them win in 3 years or you are gone. And when you're gone, we're not paying you a cent other than this $18 million that we've given you in these 3 years. Get out of here.
Back to the phones we go. For him to look at an AP reporter from that lives in the state of Tennessee and infer that the guy is smirking because a kid got hurt. I mean, to me, I'd be so pissed off at him, I would go, you're apologizing to me.
Yeah.
What is that, man?
Well, what kind of piece of human debris, like, is... You think he's actually serious?
Well, that's my point!
You think even the most ardent Tennessee fan is happy that Nick Chubb got hurt?
That's my point! Are you? Who do you cheer for? I cheer for humanity, Mark Richt. I cheer for humanity.
Everyone in that stadium was sick to their stomach.
Everyone. Everyone. Even those that were there that were Florida fans. To the phones we go. Let's get our next call in. Because Florida fans would cheer for something like that because they're a bunch of Yankees. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony. It's BK. How you doing?
Hey, BK. Great to hear that big, powerful voice of yours.
All right, and what a great win. I'm heading to the Titans game tomorrow, but you know what's great about this win is listening to Bino with a raspy voice after he's been cheering all day. How good is that?
Oh, goodness.
It's such a pleasure, isn't it? Isn't it fun, guys, just to smile? Like, to remember what it is about this that kind of calls us to it? Isn't that just kind of nice, guys?
Next level.
I mean, if we had a local personality in our market one time ask, it is really nice to hear good news for a change. That's what I say to you guys tonight.
Hey, Tony, couple things I wanted to mention. Coach Glanville the other day talked about pressure downs, particularly late in the games. When we put pressure on that guy, he folded like a cheap suit. And when we didn't, when we let go rush 4 or 3, He picked us apart, did he not?
What did we do on 4th and 13? I want to make sure I understand what we did. And I'm not criticizing our, because you got to coach worship, okay? Even after you win, and thank God you're not like this, and you're not going to hold me accountable because you're like I am. Why didn't we put pressure on him? when it was time to win and get off the field? Why? What are they doing? And it almost came back and got us. Why?
You can't make it up. You can't make it up.
Learn from it, damn it.
I'm with you.
It's so thick-headed.
To be fair, though, they rushed four numerous times
in
that drive and could not get pressure.
Then rush six. Because it's not
that's
working. That's the point.
Coach Granville says that. Coach Granville says rush six, rush seven, rush them all. Get the pressure down. This guy's going to fold like a cheap suit.
Russell, if you're going to give up a deep slant,
I'm with you.
18 yards down the field, and you're going to give that quarterback a clear look with a clean pocket, you're turning football into 7-on-7, and a talented wide receiver, if given enough time, and that guy is an all-world player, is going to be able to find a soft spot in there and lay down in front of two guys. And with these rules today, you can't touch him, which is what happened. And they had a clean lane for a reception. You have got to blitz him there. Just like to me, and Dino, I want your thoughts on this. I know the punt turned out great because it went out at the two-inch line, and it turned out to be an incredible play. But I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I said when I was watching it, that I would have gone for fourth and an inch there, and I'd have said, you know what? We have sucked. We are going to put this game away right now in front of our fan base. Am I wrong, guys? You first, BK in Nashville.
Well, Tony, I would think that we should have punted it because we would have missed the TK interception right into the breadbasket that he dropped. I mean, where would we be without that drama?
No.
At that point, I really began to question. I mean, you're always questioning. You're a Tennessee fan. But when he couldn't haul that one in, I was like, oh, boy, here we go.
And like a caller said earlier last hour, we're so conditioned. You're waiting for that ball to pop up and it to be a reception for a touchdown, a la the Ole Miss Alabama game a couple weeks ago. Bino, on the fourth down there, what would you have done?
Tony, I understand the discussion because we had the same one in the section, the exact same one. I fell on the side of punting the football. I can understand why people thought that we should have run it there, but you can't let the fact we've had such a heartbreaking season make you make a decision that you wouldn't make 49 out of 50 times. Right there, you punt the football, and, you know, because the punt, it wound up being the right thing to do. And I do think that had Butch Jones decided to go for it there and not made it, he would have been criticized more roundly than had Georgia come 99 yards and scored a touchdown.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you do that and it blows up in your face. I mean,
I agree. I see what you guys are saying. My point is, when you're us and you can't get out of your own way in these games lately, sometimes it's better to take the matters into your hands and say, we are going to knock you out. We've got 1 inch to get. I might even have been tempted to run behind my two kids and say, take that, future opponents. We're here, and we're coming for you. I'm tempted. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Tony. Go ahead. I didn't mean to.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I thought for the most part tonight the Tennessee staff made very good decisions. They made the right decision when they're behind going forward on fourth down. When you're up 7 and the other team has only one timeout left and you know you've got a good punter now, you didn't expect knocking out the half-yard line, I think that's the right call to make at that time.
Anything else for us, BK, in Nashville?
Yeah, let me give you a couple other things just real quick. I want to apologize. Yesterday I talked to Bino and Cinco, and I really thought Georgia was going to gouge us right up the middle. And maybe, you know, with Chubb going out, unfortunately, maybe that was, you know, a difference maker. But, and Tony, really, when right before half, we're down 24-3. I was really thinking about tweeting you saying, can we go on and start the Dalton Behring, fan reaction, fifth quarter fan reaction at halftime, because I thought we were done. And so I was wrong. The last thing I want to make, Tony, is when I look at Dobbs, his best games have been Alabama, South Carolina, and the first half of the bowl game against Iowa and tonight. People walk away going, oh, my God, this guy is incredible. Now, I don't know why they don't release him every game like that. Let him throw the ball. I mean, what? The kid makes plays.
It's bizarre. And look, well, is he a perfect passer? He's not even close. Did he struggle tonight passing the football? Yes, he did. Did he throw some balls behind some guys? Yes, he did. Did he get the ball in the zip code enough for some of our big receivers to go up and make plays? He absolutely did. Did he throw some beautiful passes tonight? He absolutely did. I'll tell you what, I don't know where that wheel route has been to our tight end, but that is a beautiful play. They need to run that thing again and 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 again, like the sushi spot. Because I'm going to tell you something, that's impossible to defend when you have two wideouts leading him down the field. How in the world do you defend that play?
And they pump fake. Was that the one where they pump fake the screen?
Yes. Well, how are you defending that? That was a beautiful, beautifully designed play.
Because that was the same play earlier where the defense jumped it and almost had a pick six.
Exactly.
And then they come
and
to
they
it.
Came right back
but instead
to
of
it.
Throwing the screen, they throw the wheel route.
They threw over.
They jumped it again, and it was wide open.
It was really well done. DeBoard had a great night tonight.
Yeah,
he really did.
But why do we have to wait until we're down 24-3? Can't we do that when we're up, you know, about 17 points? Can't we cut?
I think it's a great point. They didn't loosen up until they had to tonight.
Like in the South Carolina game last year. Hell, it was over.
Yeah.
Like, okay, well, now all of a sudden he's Mr. Football. He's Johnny Football.
Yep. Absolutely right.
Great victory, guys.
BK, love you, man. Love you, man. Every step of the way, brother. We're going to get this thing back, and we're all going to do this together. Kind of like, Arkansas is an injured quarterback. Is that what I'm saying here? What happened, Russell?
Brandon Allen got tackled running for a first down, fumbled the ball out of bounds, so I think they're reviewing the spot. I think he's okay.
Okay, he's just getting up. Just getting up and keeping his arm limber. Okay. Arkansas leads 7-3. They are driving with the football with a first down out around midfield. Bino, you have a rooting interest in this Arkansas game tonight?
Yes, just about every time Alabama plays, I'm for whoever they're playing.
Come on, man.
Does Florida surprise you, Bino?
Tony, I told you I thought they were real good defensively, and I thought McElwain would be able to help them offensively, and we launched them. And they're playing with a confidence no one saw coming in year one of McElwain down there. And they're on the right side of the league.
Confidence is an interesting thing, guys, isn't it?
Absolutely.
What does confidence mean? Well, confidence means, and I'm trying to find a number here, but I believe if there's a better coaching job in America that's been done, and I hate to say this, McElwain is doing an unbelievable job. The guy at Michigan is doing an insane coaching job. Okay? I'm talking about an insane coaching job. It's confidence.
You got Jim Harbaugh as your coach, and everybody looks at him as being an offensive guy because he was a quarterback and all that.
Yes.
They just had their third shutout in a row today.
Ready? In their last 11 quarters of football, they have outscored their opponents 90-0. 90-0. Are you kidding me? 90-0. Back to the phones we go.
Same group that couldn't play dead under Brady Hoke for the past couple of years, and all of a sudden they're a force.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
Well, you wonder why people talk about the coach and the power of the coach and everything. That's why. Good coach.
Hard so far, ask, is our rub pass a really good execution or an illegal pass? They're all illegal so far. But you know what? If they don't call it, it's all good. If they call it, then you say, okay, you caught me.
You don't run it. Somebody's going to run it against you.
Yeah, you got to run it. Everybody's picking. Everybody's picking. Everybody's rubbing. Rubbing's racing, and racing's picking. I want to remind you, our next call and our next little segment is presented by our friends at Tennessee Sports Medicine Group. John Krusenklaas and the folks there are flat out getting it done every day, getting East Tennesseans back to health. They helped me so much with my shoulder, My wife literally is a brand new person after living with a chronic type of pain she's had for months and months and months. It's so great to see her smiling again. And it's just been a beautiful thing. And I want to recommend Tennessee Sports Medicine Group to you, because here's what happened to both of us. We went to several different places, and they were like mills. They would run you in, run you out, didn't spend any time with you, didn't ask you any questions, give you a few things to do maybe. Oh, yeah, go do this, go do that. And then they would say to you, oh, that isn't the pain you feel. And I'm like, what? Huh? That's not what they did at Tennessee Sports Medicine Group. I want you to experience the difference. They're located at 2260 Sutherland Avenue in Knoxville, online at 10sportsmed.com. Check out the link at tonybasilio.com. And if you've done like us, you've tried the rest, why don't you do like the Basilios and try the best? Tennessee Sports Medicine Group, and I mean that when I say